Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Happy 4th of July weekend again. This is Zara Larson on Circles of Change. Welcome to our second hour, and we've got two in-studio guests. Up first, I have Mary Kaiser from here in Tucson. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Zara. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, I don't know if it's an honor, but we're going to educate as best we can, right, and enjoy bringing everybody together. Well,
absolutely.
Let me introduce that Mary is a human resource strategist with extensive experience in the field of employee benefits and human resource risk management. As a business owner of Elan Benefits, she's a trainer, consultant, and relationship builder, and has learned the importance of developing effective decision-making processes and communication methods. On a project basis, she serves small businesses primarily in the areas of communication, risk management, and employee engagement. There's that word again that we've spoken about already here in our show. Originally from the Seattle area, Mary lives and has lived in Tucson for more than 20 years and is actively involved in local nonprofit endeavors such as the Parent Aid Child Abuse Prevention Center and the Micro Business Advancement Center. She's a member of several HR and organizational psychology professional societies and a self-directed lifelong learner. Her academic and educational experiences include a master's degree in educational counseling, certification, a designation from a professional HR, and a registered health underwriter certification. She's currently pursuing a doctoral degree, she might say, in her spare time, if not full time, in industrial and organizational psychology through North Central University. And in that spare time, though, she does ride motorcycles, stays fit by exercising two active labradoodles, Lincoln and Lucy, and she and her husband enjoy cross-country motorcycle adventures and international travel wherever possible. Well, congratulations on diving into the world of working full-time and a doctorate program full-time. I know what that's like. How you enduring so far?
So far, so good.
That's right. How far along are you in your program?
I just finished my core coursework, so I'm now in the dissertation phase, if you will, from here on out.
That's right. Well, that's great. Well, if anyone knows what I often say on this show is that not to get stuck in the tyranny of the or, but think and. And in fact, Mary wanted to entitle her segment, Having Your Cake and Eating It Too. So tell us your perspective on that from a career standpoint as well as from a business standpoint.
Well, I sort of came up with the idea of having your cake and eating it too, based on the or and the and. And honestly, I've always been familiar with that expression, and it's always garnered the same response from me, and that is, why can't I have my cake and eat it too? So I think in many respects, the choices I've made, both career and personal and academic throughout the course of my life, have been approached from the standpoint of why not do it all? Why not have it all? Why not enjoy eating your cake while you're having it, too?
It too. That's clever. That's well put. Well, I had said in the introduction your areas of expertise, communication, risk management, and engagement. Maybe we should spend some time and talk about what we mean by the word risk management. I mean, those in HR know that term, but perhaps other listeners might not know to appreciate that. Is that project risk, people risk? And what do you mean by that term?
Well, risk management actually covers a very broad area. But in terms of my focus is primarily on risk management as it relates to human resources, human capital within an organization. Mm-hmm. And as any HR professional or a business owner who happens to handle the HR aspects of the business will tell you, is that HR is a pretty muddy soup these days when it comes to legislative mandates, guidelines, regulatory issues. So a lot of what business owners seem to spend their time doing, particularly HR professionals, is putting out the fires as they relate to the various sorts of issues that come up that in a worst case scenario can result in litigious activity.
Right.
So,
and in some regards, it keeps HR people, for back of a letter, you know, lack of a better term, stuck in the tactical warfare as opposed to perhaps where many would really like to be, and that's having a strategic seat at the table working on, so how do we take our talented people to the next level of opportunity?
Absolutely. I don't know an HR professional that doesn't bemoan the fact that in many respects, HR has been labeled the protectorate for the organization. And stuck in that role, they feel like they spend all their time putting out fires or guarding the gates, when in reality, there's so much more that they can and would like to do from the standpoint of strategic human capital management, direction,
education and training, helping leaders determine the best fit for their employees. Yes. I mean, even just how do you get beyond filling formitis or compliance to allowing, you know, innovation, creative ideas to come out.
Absolutely.
So when you step into a company to help them with risk management, I assume the first thing is to really get a sense of the landscape, kind of a, okay, where are we today, and then maybe even where we want to go in the future?
Yes. Yes. And typically when I get called in to work with a client, there's an issue, a specific issue that needs to be addressed. Usually there's a time frame associated with that issue. So you're working sort of under the clock to identify, address, and resolve the issue at hand. If that's all I did, then I would say I was doing a very incomplete job and a disservice to my clients, because in reality what you want to do in every situation is, as you work through the issue, assess the organizational structure, the culture, the communication processes, and the systems and policies in place that led up to that issue, and then provide the client with the resources and the tools to change those processes.
So we don't see this come back at us again.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my ultimate goal is to make my clients independent from me, not dependent on me.
Well, you know, many people misinterpret that term, that risk management means how far can I take this to the edge and get away with things, or before it'll blow up or spring back at me. And that's not what we're talking about here. You're talking about affording your clients a balanced scorecard or an approach so you can, you know, both judge and learn, but also take the right action by the people.
Correct. Correct. It's, I like to say that you, well, first of all, as a business owner, you can do all the right things and somebody can still sue you. And my other favorite expression is, no good deed goes unpunished.
And particularly if that deed involves leading change, then you find yourself out on the outside of the circle. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The, if I could shift to, I said you also enjoyed this opportunity of really working with leaders on communication. And you like to use the word face. So this idea of, you know, both literally and figuratively, I think I see you saying our faces in terms of how we look, respond, nonverbal, verbal, but also face meaning responsibility, the ownership of being the standard for, correct?
Yes. Yes, actually, communication is another sort of huge umbrella, and I tend to focus on the communication processes that occur within the organization as well as between the organization and its customers, its stakeholders, the public. So both the face that the organization puts forward within its own walls, if you will, as well as the face that the organization puts out to the public.
And of course, anyone that's a leader, you know, for all of your best intentions to have rollouts, documents, you know, all hands means, etc., if that face also doesn't include staying right close to the water cooler, you might totally miss it, right? It's those informal networks as well.
Oh, absolutely. And today, you know, the business world of the 20th century was the business world of letters, phone calls,
postings on the board when you walked in.
Right.
That people really read.
Face-to-face meetings, etc. Today's world, in terms of communication, is texts and blogs and tweets and videos and YouTubes. And it's instantaneous and it's 24/7 and it's global in nature. So I think organizations are grappling with the fact that communication occurs instantaneously.
And also at the seams as well.
Exactly.
The other challenge, of course, though, and this probably double backs into the whole risk management side, of course, is to helping people understand that, you know, something as simple as an email, that anything you put electronically will be there. You can't take it back. And in fact, even saying, be mindful that this could end up on the front page of the New York Times. And it's been really a challenge, I think, in this day and age. You see number of people's careers that are being undone. Businesses are getting sidelined, their brands and integrity. So that's a whole element where your comment about risk management intersects so much in this you know, contemporary dynamics.
Absolutely. And it's not just messages that get out there inadvertently or, you know, without forethought. It's also varying messages. So if, as the organization, my face forward to the customer is this, but what's coming out the back door via my employees is that, then I've got a mixed message that's being sent, and ultimately it can be very damaging to the business, the reputation, to the viability.
Yeah. So do you find, as you're working with your clients now, more and more companies being mindful and realizing they now have to take a 360-degree view on a lot of these things?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's another area where HR professionals can and should have a seat at the table when it comes to strategic business planning, orientation, and the decision-making process.
But, you know, that's also a totally a new skill set for many that may not have had that grounding. But what a great opportunity, and for our listeners particularly that are thinking about, gee, how could I take my years of business experience in X and perhaps walk in and be able to help from having sat in a different perspective chair?
Absolutely.
The area of engagement now. Tell us your words. It's interesting. We just did touch on that with our previous guest. What you mean by engagement, employee engagement?
Well, I guess my definition of employee engagement, it perhaps give you a best example, is if I am thoroughly engaged in what I'm doing, you know, in a work setting, I am oblivious to what's going on around me. I am totally focused on the task at hand. I don't just stop when I reach, you know, the immediate goal, but because I'm finding it interesting and fulfilling, I keep going. I may do more than I've been asked to do. And at the end of the day, I really feel connected not just to the work that I'm doing, but to the organization that I'm part of and to the mission and the values of the organization itself.
And so what our listeners are going to say, oh, here comes Zara. She's going to say their classy comment that talk to me thus about employee engagement, though first starting with the employee being fit in a role that really resonates with them and their natural gifts.
Absolutely. I think
we miss the boat
geniusly
in that area now.
Yes, you can't just put somebody into a position and assume engagement without taking the necessary steps first. Just, you're not going to put somebody, in rowing in the Olympics without at least assessing first that they have the skills, the capabilities, and they're, you know, top of their class, so to speak. Same thing holds true for job positions. And today's job positions and occupations are not the rigid, structured types of occupations or job types that was in place for much of the last century and you know, some of this. They're flexible. They're ever-changing. So you have to be able to assess on the front end whether you've got somebody with the necessary skills, desires, aptitudes, personality, if you will.
So are you finding, as you've worked with some of your clients, particularly small business owners, they might say, well, this is a really daunting task. It's not like I have 25 people I can move around and shift. I might just have 5. Or, by the way, I'm a privately held company. It's family. I can't have Uncle Bill suddenly switch from one of these to one of those. It just doesn't happen that way. So does the topic of engagement and refitting people look like something different in the smaller enterprises, do you think, Mary? Or what's your experience tell you so far?
Well, first of all, I think, again, because jobs aren't rigid the way they used to be rigid, that you can't just look at a job title or, you know, an occupational title. You actually have to look at the duties within that title. And for a small business owner, what it may mean is taking, you know, particular duties or responsibilities that employee A is handled by virtue of them being quote-unquote office manager, but reassigning those duties to perhaps the bookkeeper who's more able to handle, or whose skill set, personality, aptitude, interests are closer to those particular duties.
And of course, what you'd say, because of this ever-changing environment, is that, gee, maybe we don't even need to do those tasks, or maybe that's better placed on the outside so that my office manager can aspire and do these other things that are more important for us for the future, but also matches well with their skills.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not against outsourcing. I think in many cases outsourcing
or partnering
or collaborating, you bet, makes the most sense.
So where does your doctor work fit in all of this? And what's your topic now that you're about to launch into your dissertation? Congratulations, by the way. It's no minor thing to endure, particularly all that quant statistical background, right?
Yes, yes. Well, you were very helpful at one point when I was panicking about taking my first statistics course after 20 years gap between my last statistics course. I made it through that, and I actually made it through another. So I'm feeling pretty confident.
That's right. You're claiming your successes along the way, right?
I am, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. The program in industrial and organizational psychology is very simply the scientific study of the workplace. So for me, it's a really good fit because I've spent more than 25 years in the corporate world. So, and I'm fascinated by human behavior. As much of it as I see and as much of it that changes, I'm still fascinated by it. So,
and puzzled and confused and all that too, yes.
Absolutely. It keeps me engaged. So my dissertation topic actually has to do with employee engagement and the link and the relationship between employee engagement and productivity.
Yeah, so it's just to be engaged, but for the sake of what?
Yes. And you know, as you know, with a dissertation topic, you sort of have to look at theory. You know, you're really looking at what underlying theory or theories best explains the relationship between A and B, in this case, employee engagement and productivity. And I'm looking at comparing two different theories, actually, to see which one best explains how it is that an employee gets from being engaged to actually being more productive. So I can explain those theories if you like.
So the idea you're going to get out there in the field and interview people as well as float a survey and
yes.
The rest of it. Yeah, that's an exciting part of it.
Hopefully large-scale survey that will also include objective measures as well.
Sure. Well, of course, that's the other part of it. For those of you that I know, we have many listeners that have done both working full-time or close to full-time, whether doing academic studies, whether that be a special certificate or a master's or finishing their undergrad. There's something unique about being able to live in your own laboratory. So my guess is that even as you've evolved your company over the few years that you've had the chance to establish it, that now it's going to likely get pulled in a whole new trajectory based on your studies.
Oh, absolutely.
So do you have that plan, or is this something you're thinking you're going to create it as you walk in?
You know, it's funny. When I started my business the first time, I had very specific goals that were related to the business. And they were more long-term than short-term. This time, I'm sort of living in the moment because I recognize the fact that as I learn more and study more, it may, and already has, shift some of my own direction in terms of the professional career.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm enjoying that. It's nice for a change to feel that if I learn something new over here or if I experience something new over here, I can then turn around and put it to use for clients.
Right. And I would suggest that people who have indeed gone through this experience of working and going to school at the same time, you have that opportunity regardless of where you're working, whether it's your own shop or not. Perhaps there's a little bit more flexibility where you are, but it's interesting how flexible organizations are once you get down a couple layers, so to speak, of who they think they are, that you can go and deploy some of these things, those behavior-based things, those psychology-based things you're into for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, if you walked into a client today, a brand new client, you know, can you predict what the challenge is that they want you to get into? Or is it one of those, they tell you X is the problem, but you really see it's A through M that's going to allow you to get to X? I know that's what I find a lot with my clients these days.
I think almost always the surface issue is never really the real issue. Mm-hmm. So, but the surface issue is what gets you in the door, and the surface issue is what's first and foremost on the client's mind. So in the process of asking questions and listening, I try to do a whole lot of listening, you begin to hear what the real questions, even though they're not being posed in the form of questions, are. So you may end up having to work on the immediate issue first. Or it may be that you can't work on the immediate issue until you address some of the other areas.
Exactly.
First.
It's a whole systems dynamic. Well, you made a comment in our opening remarks, Mary, that the area of risk management, that it's fraught with a lot more opportunity, shall we say, than it has in the past. I think people would say, well, gee, that's just a sign of the times with the economy, with companies radically downsizing, everything from bankruptcy to mergers and acquisitions and so on. Do you think there is something more at play, though, than those external factors?
In terms of why risk management is more...
is higher on the agenda of concern. One thing I see is that, you know, in this day and age, people want, expect, and are looking for a lot more independence and opportunity to get to commitment, such that, gee, following the script, you know, there's a sense of getting mixed messages.
Yes.
And so it's there in the mixed messages when you start getting into the gray zone that suddenly, in absence of supervisors and leaders really being trained on how to manage around those fringes, you can get the disconnects.
I think the area of communication and the area of engagement plays a lot into the whole topic of risk management, because I think employees do, first of all, they do expect more.
Mm-hmm.
They feel they deserve more. You talked earlier about generational workplace.
Yes, please.
That's another fascinating topic for me, because we are looking at 3 to 4 generations in the workplace, and they do have different perspectives. Now, that's not to say that they have different, they engage in different ways. They all pretty much engage in the same way. But what it does mean is, from a risk management perspective, you have to recognize what your demographics and your culture look like in order to be able to address the issues effectively and proactively, as opposed to reactively.
Well, and also, if you even can mindfully direct the advancement of your demographics through your recruiting strategy, your retention strategy, and your succession planning areas.
Yes.
Yeah, 4 generations in the workforce has brought a lot of new energy. I'll view it as a very positive one, particularly our earlier topics in the words problem solving and innovation. Mm-hmm. But it can be fraught with new territory for traditional leaders who've been used to not just the predictability of their products and their business, but the people that are making it happen.
Yes. And I think we're going to see changes, and we're already seeing changes in the landscape for the workforce over the next, well, the rest of this century, because diversity is now part and parcel of what the workplace looks like.
That's right. So what does the future hold for you? So you're going to stay on task with both your business and your doctor's degree? Do you see a shift also at the same time pulling you forward in new ways?
Well, as I said, I'm trying not to focus on real long-term goals. Right now, my goals are sort of 3,
survive,
4,
yes.
5
get the degree,
years.
Right?
I am very dedicated to getting through the dissertation process. I do not want to be one of those with ABD, all but dissertation.
Right.
So that I would say is a primary goal.
That's right. Mary, if individuals would like to get a hold of you, where they can find more about your business, what's the website?
Yes. The website is www.elanbenefits.com. So that's ELANbenefits.com.
Right. And locally it's 520-990-7202. Mary, how do you think you've changed helping leaders change within their organizations?
Wow. Probably in a lot of ways. I think one of the things I've learned to do over the years is listen.
Yeah. And certainly playing the role of a consultant.
Yes.
Listening and hearing, you know, really distinction.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for making that distinction, because there's a big difference between
listening and hearing,
yes.
Well, very good. Well, Mary Kaiser, thank you so much for joining us from Elan Benefits and sharing your thoughts and wisdom. We'll catch up with you on the other side of that walking and being hooded as a doctorate in industrial psychology. Thanks so much for joining us.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Zara.
My pleasure. Very good.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.